Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, America's Bank, The Epic Struggle to Create the Federal Reserve by Roger Lowenstein, is a nonfiction history of American finance and political economy. It examines how the United States moved from a fragmented and unstable banking system toward the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913. Lowenstein focuses on the long conflict over who should control money, how banking should be organized, and whether centralized authority could coexist with American suspicion of government power. The book covers the period from the early Republic through the Progressive Era, using the creation of the Fed as a lens for understanding broader tensions in American society, including region, class, and ideology. Rather than treating central banking as a dry institutional story, it presents the Fed's origin as a political struggle shaped by crises, competing reform plans, and ambitious personalities. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how repeated banking panics exposed the weakness of the American financial system. A central argument of the book is that the United States spent much of the 19th century with a banking system that could not reliably supply liquidity in times of stress. Lowenstein traces how seasonal cash shortages, scattered reserve holdings, and recurring panics revealed structural fragility rather than isolated bad luck. In this setting, banks were often forced to call loans or hoard cash, which intensified downturns instead of softening them. The narrative shows why financial instability became a recurring public problem and why reformers kept returning to the same question: how could a nation with a large, growing economy function without a lender of last resort? This topic matters because it explains the practical pressure behind the Federal Reserve's creation. The Fed did not emerge simply from abstract theory or political fashion. It was a response to repeated breakdowns that made older arrangements look increasingly inadequate. Lowenstein uses these crises to show that financial structure is not neutral, because the design of the system shapes how shocks spread. Secondly, the long fight between decentralization and central authority in banking. The book carefully develops the conflict between those who feared concentrated financial power and those who believed only a central institution could stabilize the currency. Lowenstein presents the debate as a recurring feature of American political life, not a one-time argument in 1913. Anti-centralization sentiment drew strength from populist distrust of Wall Street, suspicion of federal power, and the belief that regional and local banks should remain in control of credit. Supporters of reform argued that decentralization left the country vulnerable to panic and inefficiency. The eventual Federal Reserve System represented a compromise rather than a clean victory for either side. It created a central framework while preserving a regional structure through district reserve banks. That compromise is one of the book's most important insights because it shows how American institutions often emerge from political bargaining rather than pure design. The result was a system that tried to combine discipline, flexibility, and democratic legitimacy, even though those goals often pulled in different directions. Thirdly, the influence of key figures such as Warburg, Wilson, Aldrich, and Glass. Lowenstein gives unusual attention to the people who shaped the Fed's creation, treating their personalities as politically consequential rather than decorative. Paul Warburg appears as an important intellectual force for banking reform, bringing European experience and a strong belief in organized central banking. Woodrow Wilson mattered because the final bill required presidential leadership and political framing, not just technical expertise. Nelson Aldrich and Carter Glass represent different strands of reform and resistance, each linked to broader constituencies and institutional priorities. The book shows that the Federal Reserve Act was not produced by a single master plan, but by negotiation among figures who had different motives, vocabularies, and levels of trust in one another. This human dimension is important because it explains why policy outcomes often reflect coalition building as much as economic logic. The book also suggests that institutions are shaped by the limits of the people, designing them. Ambition, suspicion, compromise, and persuasion all affected the final structure. That makes the history of the Fed readable as both institutional history and political drama. Fourthly, why American distrust of banks was tied to democracy, class, and region. The book makes clear that opposition to central banking was never only about technical finance. It was also tied to deeper fears about elites controlling credit, currency, and political influence. Lowenstein shows how conflicts between East Coast financial interests and interior populists, between urban commercial centers and rural communities, and between mercantile and agrarian priorities shaped the debate. In this sense, the Federal Reserve became a solution to a national legitimacy problem as much as a monetary one. Reformers had to persuade Americans that a central bank would not simply serve bankers at the expense of farmers, workers, or small-town businesses. The political struggle around the Fed thus reflected a broader American tension: how to create effective national institutions in a republic built on suspicion of concentrated power. This topic adds depth because it places banking reform inside the social conflicts of the progressive era. The book suggests that monetary policy was inseparable from questions of representation, fairness, and whose interests the state should protect when the economy became unstable. Lastly, the Fed is a compromise institution that reshaped American economic power. One of the book's key conclusions is that the Federal Reserve was built as a practical compromise, but one that gradually changed the country's economic position. Loewenstein explains that the system created in 1913 did not fully settle all disputes over monetary authority. Yet it gave the United States a more coherent mechanism for managing credit and responding to crisis. Over time, especially as the country moved away from the gold standard, the Fed's role expanded, and it became a much more powerful arbiter of monetary policy. The book therefore links institutional design to long-run national development. A central bank helped support financial modernization, and eventually America's rise as a global economic power. This is a different kind of analysis from a simple origin story, because it connects the founding compromise to later consequences. Loewenstein is interested not just in how the Fed began, but in why its creation mattered. The book ultimately shows that institutions built to solve immediate problems can outlast the conditions that produced them and become central to the economic system they were meant to stabilize. In conclusion, America's Bank is best suited for readers interested in U.S. history, banking, monetary policy, and the political history of reform. It will also appeal to general readers who want a clear explanation of why the Federal Reserve was created and why its structure still reflects old compromises. The book offers practical value by making a complicated institution intelligible. It explains why central banking emerged, what problems it was meant to solve, and why debates over independence, accountability, and financial stability persist. Intellectually, it helps readers connect money and banking to larger themes in American democracy, especially distrust of power and conflict between regional interests. What makes the book stand out is its balance of scholarship and narrative readability. Compared with more technical histories of the Fed, it is more accessible and character-driven. Compared with broad economic histories, it is more focused on the political struggle behind institutional design. That combination makes it a strong entry point for anyone who wants both the history and the logic of the Federal Reserve, without losing sight of the human conflict that produced it. If you would like to support Roger Loewenstein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.